Hey, what's up, guys? This is TJP, otherwise known as TJ Perkins, otherwise known as the Cruiser Great, otherwise known as the Phil and Flash, and you guys are listening to Get Your Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Crystal, the queen of Philippine wrestling, and I'm here with Get Your Podcast.
Hey, y'all. This is Zayzang at Get Your Podcast.
You know, I guess that you would be the only one who would dare to come here. You've got courage.
Yo, the Get Your Podcast is here, and you got your homie Just, and returning back, ladies and gentlemen, my homie Garn.
Yo, it's been a while. It's been since, what is it?
Man,
a long, long
forbidden
time. As long as a Liv Morgan title reign.
Ooh, why you gotta go there? But we didn't come alone. Of course, we brought one of our favorite homies with us, the crew from Smacking It Raw, Matt, Vince, and Katie. What's going on, Matt? You want to say something?
I'm just trying to figure out how we've been in here for like half an hour. Your internet's been fine. As soon as you hit record, you got all fucked up.
I know. Bear with us. Tech amongst a bit of difficulties. But what's up?
Just
what's
adding
up?
B, it's causing trouble. What the heck?
Vince and I are the Smackin' Raw crew, and Katie is the Shaman of Sheelite, the host of the Sheelite Showcase, Inside the Mind of In the Crowd, and the hardest working woman in podcasting today, or so they say. Lindsay, baby.
It's the truth. That's why.
It's dead ass.
Just in case.
Shout out to Jizzy. but yeah, guys, come on. We're still high. We're still excited for what happened at Extreme Rules. This is going to be different from a typical.
Were we supposed to get high before we did this?
No, I mean, aren't you? Drugs. You're not? I am. I mean, I kind of am. But huh? I mean, like. No? Don't worry about it. Oh, I wasn't going to say. No, but guys, we're still like. We're still feeling the effects from Extreme Rules, right? So this is going to be different from a typical Get Your Show. We just talk about Extreme Rules, right? What do we like? What do we dislike? And then get into the sway session. But yeah, guys, winners and losers of Extreme Rules, go.
Oh, are we just go to school? I'll add it.
I'll go Garn, Matt, Vince.
Obviously. Okay, head on.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with loser. I will have to say, Liv Morgan's the easiest one, but then I believe they're pushing for something bigger with her later. So, but I would say for now, for title reign, it's Liv title Morgan. just because title sake, Liv Morgan, just for that. But there's a bigger story into it, so I'm not gonna. It's not okay. Gonna be, it's not like a terrible loser, just being.
Okay, Matt.
Do I want to give you just the tip, or I mean,
you just want to blow your load right away?
I think we all know who the big winner of Extreme Rules was, because after the show was over,
yes,
they were only talking about one motherfucking person, Mister. Even though you guys can't see this because there's no video. Bray Wyatt making his return and making me a happy wrestling fan this week.
What was your reaction like on when that was happening? As soon as it went black,
so my wife,
the lights went out.
My wife was making fun of me because I was like moaning and shit because I my daughter's upstairs. Like every time I get too excited, she yells at me. She's like, the baby's sleeping, so like I had to try and contain it.
Yeah.
So instead of being like, yes, fuck yeah, hell yeah, yes, finally, I was just like, oh,
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I bet you that's exactly what goodness. Daniel Cormier and Matt Riddle were doing. Matt Riddle was doing on the side. You know what I'm saying? They're like, "Oh shit, yo, yo!" But Vince, what'd you think? What was your winner and losers?
I'm gonna start with my loser, just like Goran. I think my biggest loser of the whole week, besides my forehead, is Matt Riddle, because unfortunately, he had to endure a Matt Riddle win at Extreme Rules, which I'm pretty sure up until that point, he was enjoying a very good wrestling pay-per-view, you know, between like the Brawling Brutes, the women's mm-hmm. matches, the strap match. I know he has a thing for strap matches, but I'm gonna give loser of the week to Matt Riddle, just because I'm pretty sure he wasn't happy. Riddle
first
won.
Off first off, fuck you. Second off, Cormier cheated. Third off, none of that mattered because Bray Wyatt debuted. Just for you.
Hell no. Redebuted.
Redebuted, yes. All right, Miss Katie.
Winner will be the Brawling Brutes. That match had no right to go as hard as it did. Bang. It was a banger.
After
a banger.
After. Come on.
You guys are just banger. Like after.
Banger after.
You're not
banger.
Continuing the rest of it.
Well, no, because you're the banger.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Me?
No, not oh you. God. You're definitely not the banger. You're all foreplay. Katie's the banger.
Fucking hell.
Where's the soundboard? I'm missing
out. Yeah. Hey,
what?
Where's the leak, ma'am?
No, but yeah, the Brawling Brutes, that was the first match too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I was like, yo, what a way to set the tone. They're going to go in, you know what I'm saying? They're going to hit each other. Yeah, it was dope. It was dope. Okay, I got to say, amongst, like, yes, Bray Wyatt and that whole thing was the winner, but another winner for me would be the strap match, right? Because it kind of let us know a little bit of, like, the relationship between Karrion, Keith Cross, and Scarlett Bordeaux. The way that Karrion was whipping Drew on the pole on the outside, and the way Scarlett was looking and Karrion was looking as he was whipping him, just let me know, maybe there's like some cuck vibes going on in that relationship, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I took from it. I don't know about y'all.
Maybe Scarlett just likes to see Karrion beat other men.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, that wouldn't necessarily be cuck vibes. It would be cuck vibes if Drew was beating Karrion and Scarlett was enjoying it.
Unless storyline.
Oh. Elaborate okay, on true. That, Garn. Elaborate on that. Unpack it.
It's just this is a Pornhub storyline here we're talking about here, clearly.
You think Drew will Drew and Scarlett Bordeaux will have an affair?
Whoa.
Is that where you're going? Is that where you're going?
We could go there.
Have you seen his sword?
I know that it's a Loch Ness, you know what I'm saying?
He has the chosen one.
Oh, that's
question something. Every time I come on the show.
I never do.
But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest winner is definitely you know, the Bray Wyatt, you know, thing.
It's,
you know what I'm saying?
Is it just Wyatt?
It's just Wyatt. Yeah,
it's just Wyatt.
Just
quiet. I do gotta say, like, the whole payoff for the QR code, I mean, it was dope, right? I mean, it did it at some point. Did you guys thinking, like, you know, I kind of wanted to already happen, but I think, right, like, extending it and kind of like having the whole long-term story thing, I think it definitely paid off. Now, like, there's some people on Twitter that are actually thinking that, like, it was kind of dumb. Did y'all see that?
Those people are dumb. Yeah, no,
right, that's what I said. I was trying to think, like, how would you think that? Yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast and you thought the Bray Wyatt return re-debut when he debuted is dumb, then in my opinion, you are dumb. That doesn't mean you necessarily are. Like, everyone likes different shit, but I liked this more than anything. I like this more than your six-star matches. and your Tamagotchis and, you know, all of that. So if in your opinion that was dumb, in my opinion, you are dumb.
It was the most creative thing that has been done in WWE TV in years.
Right.
Like, how could people hate that? Yeah, they blatantly shoved QR codes in our face, but good. Because they knew we liked digging into this shit and figuring it out. There was a QR code on Raw tonight.
There was?
There was.
And I have PTVD, post-traumatic Vince disorder, so I was really worried they were going to fuck this up. I really was.
Yeah.
So I tried not to get my hopes up that it would be Bray Wyatt. And then they did, and then I came repeatedly.
Nice.
That's kind of the part that I was scared of too. Is like, just like what Matt was saying, is like, you know, it's so good to be true that it's going to be Bray, but it's, you know, sometimes you always fall back on that whole thing. Well, it's WWE, they could fuck this up, you know?
Are we sure it's still not B Rabbit in the Bray mask?
If you don't get your
Not with that sexy body and tattoos, it was not.
I mean,
not when they literally showed his face.
I mean, we've seen James Harden misbelieve us with a fake gut. Who the
fuck is that?
Justin Garneau, basketball.
James Harden.
I'm related to their basketball. No, maybe B Rabbit pulled the James Harden.
The beard.
Yeah,
fake crossed beard, over to us. Like,
crossed gut, you know.
What's up?
Like, are we talking LeBron James?
No.
What is James getting hard have to do with anything? Is he a Pokemon? Is he using Harden? Like, what are you talking about?
I think what he's saying
is a basketball player named James Harden.
Yeah. Like, so he does crossovers.
Last name.
Yeah. He does crossovers.
Yeah. So the thing was that he was on his team last year, the Houston Rockets. He was trying to get traded. He came in basically in a fat suit because he looked fat, out of shape. Then he got traded to the Brooklyn Nets, and then he looked like he slimmed down and cut like half his weight. So that's what I'm saying. It could be a thing. I mean, it could be a misdirection. It could actually be
again. We legitimately saw Bray Wyatt's face.
Did you not see Eric Bischoff peel face off when he was about to
carry the leash? My God.
Literally did that episode with Pretty Kyle. Yes, I watched that.
Exactly. So things can be done.
So they like okay hurt. to go on your
it could be CGI'd. It could be a CGI'd white.
To go on your and to let's say Delgado universe. Nope. You're saying that somebody made a fake fake mask of Bray's face just to rip later to reveal that it's B Rabbit.
Oh, that'd be the biggest swerve in wrestling history. Like, that would be like the biggest heel turn. Like, that would get bigger heel heat than Dominic Mysterio on Monday Raw or Vicky Guerrero.
Speaking of heel heat, since we're on the subject,
you crazy.
The one thing that really got on my nerves this week in the IWC was everyone like, who had the bigger return? Was it CM Punk or Bray Wyatt? Like, why the fuck does it have to be?
Why are we comparing? All of them were big moments at the time.
Bray Wyatt, not
also, why are we comparing? I mean, it's obviously Bray Wyatt over Cody Rhodes, but like, why are we comparing?
Just because, you know, like, that's how Twitter is.
All of those were important moments at the time.
Yeah.
Like, Punk returning after 7 years, a reasonable response. Cody Rhodes returning at WrestleMania, reasonable response.
1,000.
Bray coming back after us being teased about it for months, reasonable response. It's different situations require different crowd reactions. Crowds are going to react however they want to react. They booed Dom out the building today, as they should. But like, those returns meant something at the time. So why the fuck do people have to try and compare them all?
And also, comparing a guy who has not wrestled in 7 years that people have been chanting for 7 years, who returned in his hometown in front of his home crowd, to a guy who's been gone about a year, maybe a little more, not return in his hometown, but, you know, also had a lot of hype and build up and suspense leading. Like, that's not a fair, like,
That's what I'm saying. Like different situations.
Also, to be fair, I don't think we know Bray Wyatt's the character's hometown, so he can't really debut at his hometown. It's not a thing that can happen.
He didn't debut in the Firefly Funhouse, so he wasn't at home.
Kind of did. It was covered
Cowboys. No, they showed the Firefly Funhouse, but he was not in it.
He probably walked through the door of the Firefly Funhouse. That was the door that was
something I noticed. We would have seen him in the house. The last episode of Firefly Funhouse, somebody put on Twitter like the clip of it, and it was. I noticed it when I rewatched Bray Return. He like kind of looks at and does something weird with his hands to Huskus, Abby, and Mercy, and then those are the three puppets you see like covered in the cobwebs. So I thought that was interesting. Obviously, probably because those are the last three puppets you see, but I thought that was cool.
Ooh, Easter eggs! I like this.
Speaking of Easter eggs, Garden, did you see any of the Easter eggs from the Bray Wyatt return?
From. Like, besides the cute QR codes and the characters that came out?
Yeah, yeah. Like one of them was the Sister Abigail was wearing Luke Harper's Bludgeon Brother mask.
Yeah, that was one. That was one. They also kind of, it was a long shot, but you know how they opened the door and they had that light? It was
the blue
light, very similar to how Brody Lee was introduced to. That's what they're saying. It might be a long shot, though, but... I
can see
that was the other one, but the mask one, that was the first clear one I think I saw.
Speaking on the mask, the rabbit mask that he wore, like I did pick up that it did look similar to the mask that was worn in the Black Phone movie.
Oh, are you talking about Bray's mask before it took off?
Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was very much giving Black Phone.
So I don't know if you guys know about this. Maybe you'll like it, but like. Tom Savini, the guy that created Black Phone, actually has worked with WWE multiple times.
He was on Bray Wyatt's masks.
Huh? On Bray Wyatt's masks.
Yeah, Bray. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did all of his masks.
Yeah.
Well, his team did. He didn't specifically.
Yeah,
team.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
He was
Tom Savini is a horror legend.
Yeah. He was in Pittsburgh when I was at Raw. Like, he was in my section somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of the
mask. Was the mask that was on commentary like the burned thing?
I think that was like the burnt one, right? From the house? Or, yeah, like, wasn't that the burnt one? On the commentary table?
Lit himself on fire kind of deal. I don't know.
He did not light himself on fire.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sensitive subject, Garn. Thank you.
Randy Orton burned him alive and then cheated to win at WrestleMania.
Also, with like the Easter eggs, people are guessing based off of the placement of the two women's championship belts next to Abby the Witch that it is Alexa because she is both a Raw women's champion and a SmackDown women's champion. I don't know if those were placed there for that or a fan literally.
That's what I thought too. I thought they were the fans.
But
okay,
it would make sense if it was Bliss.
It would not make sense if it was Bliss.
Did anybody catch? Freddie from iCarly looking ass, like peeking behind Abby the Witch, like in the middle of a like serious like scene, like that completely ruined it for me because like I'm watching, I'm like, what the fuck is this Freddie from iCarly looking ass motherfucker just peeking in there? Like, bitch, get back in the shadow.
I know you're talking
about. Go back and watch it. When they show the part where Abby the Witch is in the crowd there, and they show the titles in the background, you can see a dude that looks exactly like Freddy from iCarly just peeking out like this.
I don't think I was paying attention. I was focused more on the characters themselves, not the people around them.
Oh, no. I tend to focus on the wrong things.
You know what he was looking for, right?
What? Nuts.
Just these nuts.
Yeah.
I'm going to get them all in.
You are.
It's tastier. It has it's Asian zing flavor. No, but yeah, I mean...
you asked me a question and then Vince just kept talking. So, okay.
No, to kind of go
the
about
reason it would not make sense.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
The reason Alexa would not make sense is because the last time we saw Bray and Alexa, Alexa screwed Bray over at WrestleMania. So her just being back in the fold after everything that happened and his departure. would make zero sense that she is all of a sudden part of this rumored group that might not even really be a group that everyone is assuming is a group.
Might not even be a group.
All of these, that's what I said.
I was more so saying, like, because if that's the way they take it, like, if they're just doing Easter eggs based off people, like, that's what people are saying is because she is one of the only women who has held both titles, because the if you look at the straps, they're different, indicating it's both women's titles. That's all I was saying. It, I know, oh. I know what you're saying, though, like, it.
Oh,
storyline-wise, it doesn't make
Banks,
sense.
Then. It's Sasha
Banks. No, it's not Sasha Banks.
It's Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Nate, Flair.
It's Nicky. No.
It's Nikki Cross.
I've seen the most ridiculous fucking suggestions for who's in this group. Like, Grayson Waller.
I saw that, too.
Yeah.
Well, he's a skinny fucker.
Get the fuck out of here.
If it was Grayson Waller, I would be so pissed.
And what I'm against that for... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Vince.
I said, what have you guys thought about, like, the theory that Bo Dallas, like, is one of the people in, like, in the costumes, and specifically
he's Ramblin' Rabbit. That costume is fucking terrifying.
Either that, or he's the one in the Fiend mask.
All that too.
I don't think he's any. I think he's gonna come out as, like, his own.
You have to do is believe.
Well, my thing is, if they're gonna do this, I don't think anyone's gonna play specific characters. I think it's gonna be a reveal of the group where they unmask everyone and then you find out who's in the group. Mm-hmm. But it's all
Matt, he does. Sorry.
So, like, Retribution, but better.
Yes.
Much, much better.
Because everything that they showed and every puppet in the Firefly Funhouse and all of that is a different iteration of Bray's career. Mm-hmm. Abby being the Eater of the Worlds, Rambling Rabbit being kind of in between the NXT Bray, which was Mercy Husky the Buzzard, Harris. Which was based off of, well, so it was Husky Harris, and then it was Mercy the Buzzard when he did NXT with the White Pants, because that was based off Waylon Mercy.
Yeah.
He originally created the character around. Then it was Ramblin' Rabbit when he was just doing those promos and he was just going and going and going and going and going. Then we got to the Inner Worlds, and then we got to the Fiend. Now we have the new one. So again, it might not even be a group.
You're right.
It'd be a lot cooler if it was.
If it was a group, I think I think people want it to be a group because Bray has done some of his best work in factions with the Wyatt family. And the Wyatt family wasn't, like, fully, like, unleashed, like, fully untapped, if you know what I mean. Like, they left a lot on the table with the Wyatt family, and I feel like they could have done more. They could have gotten into the level of, like, a Shield type faction. And then, like, I know that each of those men individually went on to be top world champions, either in WWE or outside of it.
Oh, really? Redbeard?
Not Redbeard, but the faction in itself, it could have been bigger. I feel like it still could have been bigger. Like,
you're talking
you
about the Wyatt family.
Luke Harper that was in there, Brody Lee. Yeah, Wyatt family. And I think that it was just, like, untapped potential in there. And, like, you saw when they went ahead and, like, recruited, like, a Daniel Bryan for a spell, or, like, they had Randy Orton in the fold for a spell. Like, if he was actually able to, like, get people to be recruited into this faction, it could have been great. It could have been what Dark Order initially was going to be with Brody when they started recruiting people like Colt Cabana and Anna Jay and the works, you know. Why do you always make this, like, this face?
They're
like,
both
you
making
just
a
like
face.
Smell like terrible boiled hard-boiled eggs in your microwave,
because I want Bray Wyatt to have nothing to do with anything like the Dark Order, because the Dark Order is dog shit and has
except
been dog shit except what
except John Silver.
Fuck Tiny Hands and Reynolds Rap.
Stop.
Dog shit.
But, like, it could have been something great. It could have been, like, a dope ass faction. And I felt like it was great for what they did. But that's why people want it to be a faction. They like factions. They see that factions are becoming a thing in WWE. I'm not saying that that's what I want it to be. That's not what I'm saying it should be. I'm trying to, like, give a reason as to why people are, like,
right,
really hammering down this idea that it'll be a faction. Because Bray's a great in the faction, and we saw him great working by himself. Honestly, I'm glad that he just kind of came back as Bray Wyatt and not the Fiend. Or, like,
he's
not
just great.
Yeah.
Nah, I feel you. I feel you.
Who's just hot.
You're talking based on, like, what you're talking based on what people want. the character to be. You wanted them to have faction. Yeah. You know, that's what people are saying. But yeah. But what were you gonna say, Garn?
Bray Wyatt's not gonna have a. He doesn't need a faction, obviously. But if we're contemplating on factions, that many people in a faction for WWE is usually a downfall. Usually, the good number will be like, you know, four. But if you have more than that, it's like.
What about Ministry of Darkness?
Takes away the spotlight from everyone.
Ministry of Darkness? They have like 10 people.
They had 10 people.
Corporate ministry? Corporate ministry?
Okay, that was a different era when you had multiple like factions at the time. This one, you know, it's been three or, you know, as. Either way, Bray, like I said, Bray Wyatt, he doesn't need a faction to.
That's right. I agree. He doesn't need it. He's
a superstar of his own.
Right.
He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it.
I agree.
I don't know if Matt and I are both thinking of the same thing.
What?
I don't know, because I was counting and you were also counting. You're over here now. I was saying, like. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, finish.
No.
I was like the first faction that came to mind that had more than four or five people that, I mean, did somewhat well, at least in the beginning, was Nexus.
Oh.
In WWE. That's not WWE. What I was doing. Okay. They said there were 10 members of the Ministry of Darkness, and I was trying to count how many members of the Ministry of Darkness there were. And outside of the Brood, if you count them, there were five. Taker, Viscera, Midian, yeah. And the APA.
Yeah.
And then the Brood.
Paul Bearer.
Brood.
Paul Bearer, right?
Stop it.
And out of all those people, Minion looks like he should be in that group.
Midian.
No, but yeah, I mean, I just hope that like they, I mean, we all know how Triple H is going to be. I mean, like he's going to take care of this, he's going to make sure it's good. Who do you think he's going to be feuding once he starts wrestling?
I hope Matt Riddle.
I mean, it might be. It would make sense.
The last person that he feuded with prior to leaving WWE was Randy Orton.
Right.
Randy Orton broke his back carrying Matt Riddle to where he is and is out possibly indefinitely. So he showed up at the end of Riddle's match on Sunday. And if he can't have Randy, let's pray to God he beats the living tar out of Matt Riddle and sets him on fire in the middle of the ring.
Fingers crossed.
Jesus. I think it really depends on if he's coming back as a heel or as a face. Because if he's coming back as a heel, then I think you do pin him against like a Riddle. And that's not me just trying to like get brownie points with Matt. Like, you kind of have to put him up with like a top baby face.
Just don't do what you did with Seth where Riddle gets his win back. Fuck that. Just let him ruin Riddle. Just let him ruin that piece of shit.
if he's a face though, then
Riddle. Perfect.
No.
Just let him go after Riddle regardless.
If he's a face, then maybe you could do something with Judgment Day.
I mean,
even though
my New York crowd this evening booed Riddle. They were shunning the Riddle, so you know.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
They were chanting Sammy Uso.
It's hard for me to see like Bray
as a heel to go after Roman.
Maybe. You think it's too soon to go after Roman?
That's one thing I don't want. I don't want him going like he's now the WWE's new version of The Undertaker. The Undertaker never needed a championship.
Exactly.
There were times where they put him in a chain because it like called for it, but like I don't really want him to lose, so I don't want him to be in a title picture. Because eventually he wins a title, he has to lose to somebody.
True.
And that may be that piece of shit that I want to see lit on fire. So I don't want to do that. So I'd rather keep him out of the title picture, let him kind of be the new Undertaker who is transcended needing championships, who is kind of on par with the champion in his own thing and doing his own side feuds and giving people who aren't in championship contention something to do and strive for on the side.
Also, if I'm glad that they didn't go ahead and like continue what they were doing with the Funhouse and Fiend Bray Wyatt, but I hope the aspect of after you face the Fiend, after you face Bray Wyatt, the person, the wrestler changes in one way or another, and that was one aspect of the Fiend and Bray Wyatt character that I very much enjoyed. So I hope that regardless of who he feuds with or whether he's going to be a face or a heel going forward, I hope that him facing someone changes them. So like, let's say someone's in line for a heel turn or someone's in line for like a gimmick change or something, have them feud with Bray Wyatt and have it be a reason as to why they're changing.
So you're using Bray Wyatt as a stepping stone.
Yeah, as a catalyst. Yes. Changes people. Yeah. Yeah. Just like, yes.
I mean, he doesn't necessarily like change them. He kind of just resorts them back to a person they were before.
Yeah.
So like, I can't even think of any off the top of my
head. Like Daniel Bryan. Like, remember when he was like all like, mm-hmm. you know, vegan, he had that whole like nature thing. But in his match, again, the title match, like he went back to, you know, the Yes Movement.
American Dragon,
right, exactly. Yes, Chucky and Matt?
I got nothing. I'm just chilling.
Oh, okay. I thought it looked like you were going to say something.
You're just chilling?
No. Yeah, I'm just chilling.
Chill with Chucky.
Just wanted to check just in case.
Oh,
we did have a whole other paper, like rest of the pay-per-view too.
Yeah, so. I was just gonna get there. So, yeah. So another thing that I want to say, another winner, huge winner, Bianca Belair.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I think her booking for her has been like one of the best things going on right now, as far as like, you know, champion wise. I mean, she's kind of defended her title more than Roman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Right. Yeah. And again, that's mostly everyone.
Mostly everyone, right? And I think
everyone except for the Intercontinental Championship, but that's
Gunther's out here putting out bangers with Sheamus.
Finally. But it took how long since WrestleMania?
But
Vince McMahon getting booted in Triple H.
But I think Bianca has hit 100 days as the women's champion, right?
No. I think she was like 60 something or 50 something days.
I thought they said like 98 on
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Are you wearing Crocs in the house?
Why are you wearing shoes? What the fuck?
Who is this? Oh, Vince?
Crocs, yes.
You're wearing Crocs? What Crocs are you wearing?
Yeah.
What Crocs are you wearing?
They're just black Crocs, man.
He's wearing Crocs with socks.
I'm wearing Crocs too.
Crocs with socks, too. Yes. What?
Yeah, I told you seen the last video of Marks and Wags? I got my Wu-Tang Crocs, dude. Remember
me and Cheech? I saw the clip.
Me and Cheech.
It's not like part of it is that you guys are adults wearing Crocs, and I cannot get on the Croc chain. Neither here nor there. You're in your own fucking house wearing shoes. Man. Why are you wearing shoes in your house?
I don't want to get my socks dirty.
They're not shoes. Like, these are my home Crocs. Like, I'm just chilling at home.
These are my home Crocs.
You have an out Croc too?
Yeah. You got Crocs for all the occasions.
Hey, yes, that's what Katie. I'm saying.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Katie.
Calling me. According to WWE.com, Bianca Belair has held the title for 191 days.
Let's go.
So Vince is way off.
Let's go.
He takes his headphones off so conveniently.
Walks out.
No, but yeah, what did you think about that match?
191 days. So
Thank you, Katie.
I enjoyed the match, but I wish they
was it sloppy? You think it was too sloppy? With
Bailey's booking. A little bit.
Not as sloppy as Liv and Ronda.
Oh, yeah. That was... Ooh.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I don't know, if they're trying to push Bayley to be more of a title picture, I kind of wish they did it a little bit differently. Like, give her at least more momentum going into that match, and then have Belair winning afterwards. That I feel like that would kind of even it out, but it's kind of her booking is kind of weird, just a Bayley's? Little bit weird to me.
Bayley's,
yeah. Overall, because they had, and then today was match today where he just lost against Candice Rae, which is. Yeah, which is kind of throws me off. I'm like, okay, you know,
Right, right. I mean, I think in this point in her career, she could take the L's and she's still Bayley, you know? Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, I kind of see what you're saying, because as far as, like, moving her on as a good character, yeah, you don't want her to stack up too many L's for just because. The I Quit match.
Just because.
You like that? The I Quit match, right? I think we talked about it on Saturday on the World Elite show, me and Matt, how, like, it was kind of like slow in the beginning, but it didn't pick up until like everybody and their moms came out. Literally, their moms, Beth Phoenix, shout out. But like, I like what's going on. I still like the storyline between the two factions. But yeah, my new name for Finn is Finn Ye West is my new name for Finn.
Okay. All right. Wow.
Because he came out in the mask, like Kanye West, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but he really did.
But yeah, what'd you guys like from the match? The moaning, perhaps, into the microphone?
No. Not at all.
No. I'm gonna say I'm loving Finn's gear, because it's, if you notice, it's starting to get like a little bit like more little details to it, like has prints on the front, yeah, has like the bandana. It's starting to look cool. I'm starting to warm up to like the pants fin gear, even though I prefer him in the tights,
right?
The trunks. Which one is it? Which, trunks? Is it
trunks? I think, yeah. Tights?
Trunks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I like how physical the match was at the beginning. Like towards the end, it started becoming more of a story, mm-hmm, of everyone coming in and doing their shit with Judgment Day, Ray, and Beth. But prior to all the interference from outside wrestlers, the match was hard-hitting from the jump. So that's what I loved about it.
Vince, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What did you think about that forearm shot from Dominic to Ray?
On Extreme Rules?
Yeah.
I think I might have missed it. I don't even know what you're talking about. So I think I missed the forearm.
Because I could tell you right now that if I hit my dad like that, I know I'm going to get my ass beat. You know what I'm saying? Not just pass out completely from a forearm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, Ray went out like a bitch.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
He did.
He got one shot from behind and was just fucking gone and did not come back.
He got cooked.
I don't know if you guys heard my phone going off with the text notification. No. That was actually Melissa texting me. It's like, is that Matt's child that he's holding on the camera? And I'm like, no, that's his Chucky doll.
It might as well be his child.
It might as well be his child. You're right. You're right.
That's hilarious. But what did you think, Katie? I can't
see. I mean, the match was good. I was just really excited to finally see Rhea and Beth face off.
Yeah, wasn't that dope? That was dope.
Because that's what I've been waiting for, because none of these men will put hands on Rhea when she's stronger than half y'all. So, like, do something.
Where's the leak, ma'am?
It's not a thirst thing. It's a truthful thing. Like, if Randy was there, Randy was involved in this,
so you want, she would have gotten RKO weeks ago. Hands on Rhea, you should volunteer yourself then.
I mean, if I was she in has. The company, yes, 100%.
I think the only one
she's tweeted about it
around the area that's put their hands on Rhea is probably Dominic Mysterio.
No. Yeah, and like,
I don't know if that's wishes. True.
He tried, and she's just like, no. But
Dom's not allowed to touch Rhea.
True.
Because
very true.
Because.
What do you mean? Because he's the sub. He only gets to touch himself when given permission.
That's how this works. That's how that relationship works. But no, I've been excited for Beth to finally get involved in this feud, and especially after the concerto, and which Beth sold the hell out of. By the way, major props to Auntie Beth.
Yeah, she looked good too. I like the haircut.
She's been looking good for months. And like, she's been getting back like in shape more than Charity was, so it's just a matter of time before we get the one-on-one between Rhea and Beth, and that's what I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, like, women. the Austin theory on it is that like it's going to be a War Games match, right?
That's what TC suggested. Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to TC.
He suggested Judgment Day, so like it's an entirety. So Damian, Dom, I'm sorry, Sub, Finn, and Rhea taking on Beth, Edge.
Right.
And he said, I think he said AJ and then Ray, but now Alan's got the boys back.
The club.
I just feel bad that the great and powerful luchador Rey Mysterio is consistently getting his ass whooped by a kid who needs permission to touch himself from his mommy.
What? Hold on. What are you touching? Is that... is that
this,
here?
This is my Merkin.
I was about to say that. I was about to say that. That looks like Dominic's mullet there. So,
oh my gosh, it's totally great. No, but yeah, I mean, I totally like those both matches. I mean, I think the biggest loser is definitely the Liv Morgan Ronda match, right? For sure.
Dude, that match was terrible.
I mean, we all know that Liv Morgan was just out of place. She was just out of place in that whole thing.
So
it's because she's in there with Ronda.
Right.
I'd argue that even though she lost the match and she lost her title, she's still winner of the pay-per-view.
Okay.
Because the whole narrative going into that match was that Liv is just too nice, or Liv doesn't have it in her to get that extreme or like bring it to Ronda. And you saw she did. She brought the intensity. Like, was the match the best? No, it wasn't. Right. However, Liv kind of held her own with Ronda Rousey. And at the end, if you saw, like, she tried everything she could. She was in a submission that she couldn't get out of. And there was, like, a smile on her face in the sense where it's, like, she was either, A, proud that that she was able to, like, prove to herself that she does have this killer instinct in her. And right. Maybe this is going to slowly... Because people forget. Bianca was champion, lost the title, then had this climb to get back into the title picture and re-win that championship. Now, you can do the same thing with Liv. You can tell this story because it kind of felt, and this is during the Vince McMahon era things, like towards the tail end of it, she won him in the bank kind of out of nowhere. She wasn't really built up that greatly. And people rooted for her. They were excited. Yeah, that was great because it's Liv and they like her. Right. And then she won the championship, and you saw people were kind of booing her, like, towards the end. They kind of, like, turned on her. So this could be a catalyst to be, like, she's going to work her way back into that title program, into that title picture. So this could be a win for her because it could add dimension to her character.
True, I agree, because I said it a little bit earlier on Marks and Mice. Like, I think because she passed out to smiling, right? And I think for her, she just thought, wow, I was a WWE Women's Champion for, like, a month and a half. And even though I lost, I got to do that.
She was longer than that. Wasn't a month? It's like at least 2 months, right?
2 months. Okay, let's round it up.
Up how many days.
Thank you. I think she just smiled the fact that, like, yeah, she was able to accomplish one of her goals, which was to be women champion, and, you know, she did it.
Yeah.
So exactly. Live forever. Garden, what about you?
I was gonna say, I loved the ending of the match where Ronda sat on her face and then she passed out smiling.
I mean, I think we all would smile.
And stepped on her, too.
Yeah.
No, that's Katie's kink.
Katie, right. I guess.
According to Google, 98 days.
Oh, it's almost 3 months.
Almost 3 months?
Okay. No, it was 3 months.
It is 3 months.
It is 3 months. It's just a little over 3 months.
It is 3 months.
Yeah.
A little over 3 months because Money in the Bank was July 3rd. I was there. And now we're October 11th.
That's pretty awesome. Okay.
Good for her. Justin, this is why you need the video.
I'm only doing this because we're not on video and I wanted to see how much I could fuck with you guys while you were trying to talk. Vince wasn't even looking at the camera as most of this was going on.
I covered it.
Oh, no. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. I just was choosing to ignore it.
It's just where... That's all I'm focusing on now.
But also 3 months because there are 30 and or 31 days in a month. So anything over 90 would be 3 months.
30 days. I don't remember the run.
September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31. Stay February because that only has 28, except in a leap year when it has 29.
There you go.
Thank
you,
sir. Had a whole 90-day no complete clause reign. So someone could have like gotten released from their contract when Liv won the title and then debuted in AEW or some other company.
Done what?
Debuted after Liv's reign.
Can you translate that for me?
Debuted?
Yeah.
Wait, use that in a sentence?
Go ahead. Yeah, use it in a sentence.
Harry Wig Drag Queen Chucky debuted on the Getcho podcast on October 10th, 2022.
All of that was in English except for one word, and I want you to translate the one word that's not in English.
Chucky?
No. Getcho? No. Just debuted, because that's not English.
But yeah, I think we pretty much covered.
No. You want to talk about English. Okay.
No, but I think that's pretty much recovering from Extreme Rules. I mean, unless there's anything else that we left out. Garn, did you want to say anything else?
We covered a lot of it already. So
we covered most of it. Yeah. I mean, the next one coming up is what? Is that the Crown Jewel?
Saudi, yeah. Saudi.
Oh, yep. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting.
Next weekend, isn't it?
What?
Step boy Katie, can you check?
What did he ask it in your
Crown Jewel? Is it next when weekend? Is Crown Jewel?
It's November 5th. I already said that.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Also, before we move on, shout out to Seth Rollins in the RVD gear. I thought that was pretty dope.
Yep.
I thought it was trash. I thought
What did you didn't like? The pants? The vest?
The pants. Okay. It just didn't seem like it was all connected.
Okay.
And shit. Like, I thought like the vest tank top.
It felt like it was very last minute.
Yeah. It felt like, oh, I'm RVD. Like, I get doing the RVD inspired, but it didn't really look like RVD. People had, like, if it wasn't until I saw on Twitter that people was like, oh, he's doing an RVD tribute because they're in Philadelphia and Philadelphia is the home of ECW and ECW RVD. And it's just like,
literally did the RVD thing at the top of the ramp.
I saw the
and
RVD
the gear thing and the ponytail.
I didn't notice all the ponytail until after the Frostbite. I'm like, oh, he did the RVD Frostbite. Oh, was the whole thing supposed to be RVD gear? Because it didn't look like I didn't get RVD vibes.
You want Rollins in a one like a
a one piece or
like felt like the vest thing was one gear and then the pants was another gear. Like it didn't felt like it was like a full gear.
It wasn't like connected.
No, it wasn't well connected.
I see what you're saying.
It seemed like it was a very
A for effort. It was an A for effort. Like A plus for like the paying homage and shout out to RVD, you get a C minus on the execution.
Okay,
like it's like, it was.
I think if the vest and the pants were the same like graphic, I think it would have been just a notch better. But I like the touches on his boots where it said Rollins, just like it would say VD.
I like that. Right? I like that part. Yeah.
His hair. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
What?
Oh, I thought you were raising your hand to say something, no?
Oh, no, I muted myself while I coughed, and then I unmuted myself.
Yeah, he was turning his mic back on.
I didn't
want
to cough while you were talking. The whole point was to not interrupt you while you were doing what you were doing. Apparently,
I interrupted myself. But yeah, I thought the gear, like you said, I could see it being rushed, but I didn't mind it either. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it wasn't terrible. But it wasn't like, oh, look at this cool RVD cosplay. Like, no, what the fuck?
You know, it wasn't like when he did the Rey Mysterio one. Like, exactly. From Hollywood. You could tell.
Like, and here's the whole thing. Like, I love Seth Rollins, and people like to, like, oh my God, he's so good with his fucking gears. Like, no, like, all his gears aren't a hit. Like, all his gears aren't, like it's this, he's not mellow.
Coming from the guy chilling in Crocs in his house.
Who the fuck wears shoes in the house?
I have problems. What gear are you not feeling? The flame pants?
Those were fire, pun intended.
The one that he wore, like when he was like all in flames and shit, like that.
Elton John?
Yeah,
he was Elton John.
Yeah, that was for was it Elton John or Freddie Mercury?
It's Elton John.
Elton John.
Elton John with the wings.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a little pride, Vince.
Because they were in Europe.
No, but people want to go ahead and like there was like I get it. You're shitting on Riddle because he's wearing a Patrick Starr cosplay gear. It's like, oh, this is supposed to be a serious ass match and shit. But here you see like fucking like Seth Rollins out here looking like Elton John. I'm like, shit on Seth Rollins too, not just Riddle.
No, shit on just Riddle.
No.
Yeah. Well, yes.
No, I'm not on Smackin' Raw. I can actually give some props to Riddle if I want to, and I'm gonna give him props for that spot for the Patrick Starr gear because that shit slaps. So anything SpongeBob related slaps. So shout out to Riddle for that Patrick Starr gear.
Wow, you uncultured man. Come on.
Yeah, you saw what happened with your life. That's what you get for fucking blasphemy.
I kind of see. Hold on. I do see what he's saying. I do see what he's saying.
Melissa says it's Chucky. Melissa says it's Chucky with the.
It is. Thing. I already told him to come get you when this is over. I whispered in his ear.
But I think you're just saying keep the same energy. Is basically what. You're
yeah.
Saying.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
But in homage to one of the greatest musicians of all time, who had a movie come out and some stupid cartoon character that
five other people don't give a fuck about.
That's who Patrick is Starr. As smart as Matt Riddle, which is the only reason he cosplayed as him is because their intelligence level is the same.
Patrick Starr over Elton John all day, every day.
Hold on, wait, we're talking about
that's what I'm gonna say.
We're comparing a Nickelodeon
star, Patrick the Star, greater than Elton John. Quote me on that. I don't give a fuck.
He said Patrick.
Quote him and roast him because he's dumb.
He said Patrick over Benny.
You're gonna
and the
give
Jets.
Shit. Look, I get it. You're gonna give shit to Riddle for wearing a Patrick Starr gear at a very intense, like blood feud type match, but not give shit to Seth Rollins for coming out looking like Elton John. Like,
because it was just a jacket and he took it off. And
no,
the pants were just there.
No, like don't even bring the whole jacket. Like you're trying to be like serious. It's supposed to be a serious thing. I bring that same energy too. Like give the same shit to because once
but what, that's I have no energy to argue with you about any of this.
I mean I made the point that one made an homage to a famous musician, one of the most famous musicians of all time, who had a movie about him out, and the other one made an homage to a fucking cartoon character. So if you don't see why that's not a parallel, I don't know how to help you.
No, you're missing my fucking point. Like, I feel like Justin's getting my point, but I feel like you're not getting my point. I'm not shitting on him going dressed as Elton John. If you want to dress Elton John, go ahead. I didn't like the gear. I thought it was dumb. Was it a cool homage? Cool. Do the cool homage. I'm just saying, if you're going to a serious match and you're shitting on Riddle for doing the Patrick Starr thing, but you're not shitting on Seth Rollins for coming in looking like Elton John with like flame wings and stupid ass glasses. Like, keep that same energy, is all I'm saying. Like,
but it's not the same energy because one is a famous musician and one's a fucking cartoon
it
character.
It still looks ridiculous to come out like that for like a very serious match that's supposed to be. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it Triple H came out for a very serious match dressed as a fucking T-900 or 1000 or
Terminator. And no one said shit about that. Either don't say shit about it or keep
because it's fucking Triple H and Seth Rollins. It's not that piece of shit Matt Riddle who just wore fucking SpongeBob pants
and continues to wear the SpongeBob pants.
SpongeBob, no dick.
Dope-ass gear.
It is not dope ass gear.
Yeah,
it's
it
trash.
Can we just change the fucking topics? I'm so confused. <sick of this. laughs>
Okay, so what's the other Seth Rollins gear that you're not feeling? Besides that one.
Did you not like that Rey Mysterio one?
Oh, no, we said that we liked that one.
The Rey Mysterio
the Halloween
one,
Havoc?
Like,
that was dope.
The Halloween Havoc, that was cool. Like, I was not a fan of his WrestleMania gear, like with the fishnet. I was like not a fan
of
it.
Oh, that was
like,
okay. Oh. That was okay.
Yeah, like the color
it
was fine.
It fits
but, like,
him though. Like, it fits the character. That's why he did it.
I was not a fan.
Why all of his costumes the past year have been so extravagant, because that's the person he is. That's why he was Elton John for a serious match, because that's just the character he has created to be, this over eccentric, flamboyant dressed character.
Yeah.
And to that point, him staying in character and doing that and then paying homage to Elton John means that, to go with your theory about keeping the same energy, then Matt Riddle should go as like Spicoli or
Wayne's World.
Tom Cruise from Born on the 4th of July.
Mm. Interesting.
All I'm saying is that he's getting shit for wearing Forrest Patrick Stark gear when because he's Matt Riddle, not because of the Patrick Stark gear. If it was someone else coming out like, oh, this is like it's Patrick Stark gear, I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool, SpongeBob, ha ha ha. No one will give a fuck, but it's because it's Riddle, he's getting shit out. And I'm gonna give him okay. his props for wearing SpongeBob. Because
so okay. let's say New Day came out with SpongeBob gear,
everyone would be eating that up. Everybody would be eating it up.
They kind of have come out in like the Lisa Frank type stuff already. So it's kind of like
they've done like a Nickelodeon homage. Right, they've done right. a Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm. They did the School of Rock.
But they do
Seinfeld
it.
Gear.
But they do it in a like a subtle, but like you know it's that
wow. right.
kind subtle. Of way.
Subtle. They came out looking like them, Thor yes. and Loki last time. Some they had a match. Like
I said, did you not just fucking hear me when I said some of them have been subtle? Not all of them.
I would say like 50-50 are subtle. They're like 50-50 subtle.
At they least came Thor out and Loki like are like the main people in the franchise. It's not like one of the
Patrick B-list. Patrick Starr is right up there with SpongeBob. They're a tag team. They're a duo.
The show is the SpongeBob SquarePants show, not the Patrick Starr show. And I believe he got his own show, yeah. and it didn't last long. I think it died. I think it's over. No. I'm pretty sure it didn't go anywhere.
SpongeBob is, but the comedy in SpongeBob kind of like did take a turn. I'm talking about like OG Patrick, like the OG shows. It had that's iconic, you know, like that's iconic. He's like the Robin to SpongeBob's Batman, you know, like you can't really have Batman without Robin. You sure. saw Batman, he went through one Robin if after
Robin
another.
Had brain damage.
I resent that statement.
Go ahead.
By the way, I do want to say that I successfully steered this whole wrestling podcast into a SpongeBob SquarePants conversation about a good 5 to 10 minutes.
Listen, that's why we're here, you know what I'm saying? To talk about all kinds of shit, you know? But yeah, okay, so Extreme Rules, guys, real quick, what would you rate it? I'm going to rate it a B-.
I'm going to give it a solid B+.
All right.
Would have gotten an A+ if there was SpongeBob gear.
Katie, what would you rate it?
I'll give it an A-.
Okay.
Brother I'll man. Give it.
Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna
let Garnish go.
I'll give a solid B.
Okay.
A+. Bray Wyatt returned. Right, the whole pay-per-view could have been as shit as Matt Riddle in SpongeBob SquarePants fucking cosplay, and I still would have given it an A+.
Gotcha. All Bray right. came back. All right, so let's do our sweaty session. Basically,
and now sweaty session.
It's like we make up our own Extreme Rules match, right? With stipulations and whatever. Who would like to go first?
Okay,
go ahead. Katie.
I want to go first. I never go first because I actually have an idea.
Okay, go ahead.
It's stupid, but I don't care. I thought of it as soon as
I mean, that's the point.
All right. So it's the way I pictured it is very much like early 2000s for some reason. Mm-hmm. It's just two people, you're in an antique shop, and you have to destroy everything on your opponent, like everything in the shop, and the last person to use said last object standing, they win. So you're just beating the hell out of each other with antiques in a store.
So like an old vase, obviously.
I was originally thinking like a China shop, but I was like antiques because they have like guitars and like pianos.
Yeah, like all kinds of stuff. Right. A drum, yeah. perhaps.
Yeah.
Some pillows. You know what I'm saying? Suffocation from the dust might be a thing, you know?
Exactly. Mm. That's mine.
I like that. I could be, you know, I'm down with that. What about you, Garn?
No.
Oh, go ahead, Matt.
I just want to. So, is this like just a stipulation match we are creating for an Extreme Rules pay per view?
No, it's like whatever Extreme. Yeah, kind of.
Just an Extreme Rules.
Just an Extreme Rules type match. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The only one I came up with was the toy chest. All your weapons are could be toy related. So instead of tacks, like you would see Legos getting slammed by Legos. You get wiffle bats, but you could do whatever you want. Once you could add tacks to them if you want. You want to be hardcore with that. what was the other one? There wasn't a slip and slide. just toys that would be considered dangerous now. I would say maybe like, you know, like back in the day when you had like these old Nerf guns that, you know, they're ginormous arrows, so you get shot in the face with those. So
right. Or like jacks. You know, step on a jack. That jacks. Dude, that'll fuck somebody's up right there.
Yeah. So something like that.
I think I have two.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, based on the just any kind of stipulation match that could take place, Extreme Rules, and in honor of Vicente Delgado, we're going to have a bad dad ladder match.
Oh, my
God. So it's Rey Mysterio versus Matt Riddle, and the winner gets to see their kid. But the way you win is you have to climb the ladder, retrieve the pack of cigarettes, and then come back home.
You stupid. You dumb.
Hola.
Does that count? Or?
I mean, it says a ladder match.
Oh my gosh. I think it
counts. I'll save my other one for last. So
mine would be like, okay, so like if we're doing one, I'll use like my like a Filipino like stereotype, you know, as mine, right? So it'd be like you have like a big like a bucket of stuff, right? So you have like the slippers, the chinelas, right? You could use that, right? We have a bamboo broom that you can use, right? You can use that. You know what I'm saying? A grain of rice, pour it on the ground. You know what I'm saying? That could be like the thumbtack thing. You know what I'm saying? Because like, it's hard. It's not cooked. It's hard. You know what I'm saying?
Uncooked rice.
Uncooked rice, you know? And then the worst one, the worst one is you get the fucking lecture. You should get the fucking lecture about like you're not doing what we told you to do and you're not becoming what we want you to be. That is probably the worst weapon. Go ahead.
Oh man, wait, who are you saying go ahead
to? Oh, go ahead, Vince, sorry.
Okay. So when you texted me the Sweaty Sessions topic, funny enough, I actually did create an Extreme Rules style match back in like WWE 12 and WWE 13. You had the ability to custom set your own matches and put different kind of rules. So I created like a fusion dance sort of match between a 2 out of 3 falls match and a last man standing. So the only way to win this match is that you have to beat your opponent down. Like you had to beat them down for a count of 10. They stayed down. Then the match starts again. So you technically had to beat them down for a count of 10 twice.
Okay.
So like you basically have to kill your opponent at this point. But yeah, it was a 2 out of 3 falls last man standing match, essentially is what it was. And it was one of those staple matches that I would always do with my friends. And we would always play, and those motherfuckers would last for like an hour plus. Okay. Yeah, forever. But they were always fun. They were always fun because they could go anywhere. They can go to the ring, backstage area, like I think they had the little fight in the crowd area section too. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. So yeah, so like that. So 2 out of 3 falls last man standing match.
That's pretty dope.
Huh.
Yeah.
You wanna say yours, Matt?
Does anyone else have any more or
not really?
No.
Okay. So the initial one I came up with, because the bad dad ladder match just on the spot here, was to stay in line with who we are and what we do over on Pornhub, as the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub. This is the sex dungeon match. So essentially, it is a fight pit, and on the cage walls are various different sex toys, whips and paddles and handcuffs and dildos and all of these things. Both opponents come out in full BDSM leather gear with strap-ons, and the only way to win the match is to make your opponent submit by having them gag on your strap-on.
So this is another version of Monsters Ball.
It's got balls, all right. Okay. Ball gags and everything.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. That's great. Well, I mean, guys, thank you for joining me on this review of Extreme Rules. Katie, would you like to tell them where they can find you at? And Adam Cole?
No, Adam Cole's back. He was up front for a little bit. You can follow me on Twitter at KatieRazin13. The link to my bio take out things. Sheely Showcase, twitch.tv/Sheely Showcase. Typically Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern, unless something happens. YouTube.com/Sheely Showcase. I say watch the videos because they're way more entertaining. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, if you like to listen. There's so much shit I do. Sheely is the weekly show. Inside the Mind of is the interviews, which a new one will be on out on Monday. And then on Halloween, that one's going to be great. In the crowd, Justin and I were just talking about this beforehand. Might be making a return soon, possibly. And then my co-host has New Japan Takeover and possibly another show. But I don't think it's up on the drive yet because the drive's giving us issues. So to be determined. And I'm always on Smackin' Around because I'm in a competition here. So
you're going to lose. But
what? Says you.
You're more than welcome to participate.
Anyways, somebody else go.
Matt?
No, look at Vince go.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at SES Vince. The link tree in my bios will take you to everything. Smackin' the Rock, Creation World, Straight Talks, Spitter Swallow. I haven't done Spitter Swallow in like a good hot minute. Yeah, so that's not coming out anytime soon, but Straight Talk, keep an eye out for that. I'm going to be doing a season preview, kind of like tier rankings of like the conferences, Eastern and Western Conference, as well as an individual Chicago Bulls season preview with my co-host Basharat. We're going to start working on that next week, so like right before the start of the regular season. So if you want basketball stuff, check that out. I was recently on the latest episode of Apron Bump. We talked about TNA Lockdown 2006, so go ahead and check that out. Just some Filipino and Mexican action, like on a Saturday morning over some cup of coffee, talking about TNA. So check that out.
That's right.
You can follow me at Matt Rizz, at MHTRIDDR on Twitter only, or at Getting Offed on Twitter only as well. I am the host of the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub and the king of consistency. You can find me here. You can find me Fridays live at 11 p.m. on Smackin' It Raw, doing what we do, and Getting Offed, episode one, our horror podcast, is out. Episode two will be out Saturday, probably about 11 p.m. as well. We will be reviewing Halloween Ends, so if you have not seen it, there will be spoilers. Return to Wrestling is on Patreon. You can find that at linktree.com/creationworld. And hashtag Them Thrones is another podcast that I do every week where you can, or sorry, hashtag Them Dragons. That's correct. They did change the name. Where you can hear us talking about House of the Dragon about an hour-ish after the episode airs on HBO. So depends on when Travis gets done playing Dungeons & Dragons and then finishes watching the episode. Facebook.com/group/SmackinRaw. Everything Creation World. It's Creation World, I-T-S, C-R-E-A-T-I-A on Twitter and Instagram. CreationWorld.com. Like Vince said, his link tree will take you to all that stuff. Yeah, that's what I do. Also, I don't hate SpongeBob. I just hate Matt Riddle.
And I hate SpongeBob.
Hell no. You can find me on the Get Your Podcast on Twitter, Get Your Podcast on Instagram. If you can't find me here, you'll find me on Marks and Mics. We just did an episode today talking about essentially almost the same thing. I also have a podcast talking about adulting with my homegirl, Jizzy. So be out, look out for that. The second episode is going to be dropping soon. And yeah. That's it, y'all. And I want to thank you guys again.
Bye. Bye.
Konnichiwa, bitches.